This is professional radio, gentlemen.
And it's front wheel drive.
Scotty, have you got anyone you want to thank?
Just myself.
And now we do the after hours.
Gentlemen, what would you go for?
Thanks to your sin, dude.
Okay, and because it's not a supercar.
But it is.
It's not.
Automotive perfection comes in the form of two letters, A and U.
Long live my LTD.
Welcome to Car Talk. It's Tuesday night. It's me, Matty J, here with Mr. David Prince and Mr. Scotty Doe Johnson. How are you, gentlemen?
Pretty well, thank you.
Yeah, doing pretty good. Thank you very much.
That's good. Good to see both your lovely faces as it is every week. How has your week been going, gentlemen? We'll start with Mr. David Prince. What's been happening in your car world?
In my car world? Oh, there's been a bit happening this week, actually. A bit of movement. We've got an event coming up next weekend. We're re-displaying a collection of Civics for the Sandown Historics here in Melbourne next weekend. After the success of the Phillip Island event we ran in March, they've asked us to rerun it, but I think it was mainly so they could get their FL5 Type R course cars. I think they in suite with Honda that way. So that's coming up this weekend. So I've done a bit of a juggle. I actually picked up my Civic Wagon the other day after one of our fellow club members did me a huge favour and did quite a bit of work on it. But that was
How's that running?
It ran like a little train. But it lives up in the Dandenong Ranges in Sylvan. And so I topped it up with some premium unleaded and it just went like a little train. The temperature gauge didn't move, ran smoothly and didn't miss a beat. So very happy with that.
That's awesome.
That will be off to a new home hopefully soon. Now it's running properly. I think it'll be a good one. It's much more saleable proposition. So
yeah.
That'll be the next thing for that car. But I left it at a mate's factory in Bayswater and picked up the AH Grand Prix Edition Civic because that's probably a better car to have up for the display on Saturday. That's already on club plate. So that's a very clean, a little original car that was released by Honda Australia to celebrate the domination of through the 80s of the Honda Motor Company in Formula One Grand Prix. Mm-hmm. They released a Civic and an Integra, 86, 87, called them Grand Prix editions, put stickers on them. But sadly, with typical, no, I won't say that. That's a bit rude. sadly, based on the base model Civic, so it didn't even have a tacho, but it did pick up a little body kit and some 13-inch alloy wheels and stuff like that. So it's a really cool looking jigger, bit of striping and Grand Prix edition emblazoned down the side of it. So that's something a bit different. Managed to get the wheel cylinders back from the brake place.
They sorted you out, or
they sorted me out. Thankfully, they were able to find the seals that were required to finish that job. So I had the two rear ones rebuilt and with new seals, and I also had a spare set of front ones. So I thought, well, I may as well get those done as well. So A, I've got them handy, and B, if I need them or if anybody else needs them. Came to a grand total of $108 for the four. So I thought that was pretty reasonable.
Not too bad. Yes, that's good.
Pretty happy with that. So good on Better Brakes Bayswater for doing that. What else has happened? It's been a funny sort of week because it sort of feels like a Sunday night here in Melbourne, given that it's Melbourne Cup Day. Yeah. So there's been all sorts of just one of those weekends where it was probably longer than it was planned to be, and then a lot of people took the Monday off. I actually worked. It was a dream getting around traffic-wise, though, yesterday. So there's a bit happening. I'm going to have to also pick up the LN's been on the road again too, and I'll pick that up later this week. Now I've got a scamp-size hole in my garage. I might bring that home too.
Was that picking up parts as it was out, or
No, not this time. No,
not
that
this
was,
time around.
Was not this time around. That was Spy doing that last week. But yeah, it hasn't been put into that sort of service. But the bonnet cable's been repaired, so that's not an issue anymore. That was a bit of a problem. And another battery's in it now, so it starts on the turn of the key. So
beautiful.
That's exciting. So yeah, I think that's about it for now.
Mr. Scotty Doe.
It's been pretty busy for this weekend and today also, but not really car-wise, unfortunately. I tried to get my car booked in for a roadworthy for that Monday because it was working from home. I thought, cool, I could drop it off, but they're either nothing or they'll closed. So
there are a lot of workshops closed, I think, yesterday.
Yeah, so a lot of them are closed. I tried to book it in, obviously, a fair bit in advance, but nothing, unfortunately. So it makes it very, very tricky when you're working Monday to Friday, unless I can get one that I can drop it off on a Saturday or something, or I don't know. I'll do my best to try and organize something to get it in because time is moving very, very fast. Mm-hmm. There is not long, so see how I go. I'm sure it's not going to pass straight away. There'll be a couple of things probably. But
I'll find something. They always do, don't they?
They always do, yeah. It's kind of their, like, their job, isn't it, really?
Yeah.
Just as long as they can quickly fix it and get it done so I can get it on the road properly would be marvellous.
Mm-hmm. Does it have a permit on it at the moment or not yet?
No.
Are there any workshops near where you work?
No.
Okay.
No, not near where I work or anything. I mean, yeah, if there was, I'd try that. But yeah, I'm just thinking now there's nothing even close by. Everything's at least about 10, 15 minutes away.
Yeah.
From my work. But yeah, I'm pretty sure it's drivable. What are they like with rims? They won't be too bad.
Obviously, they've got to be, as far as I know, I think they've got to be within 2 inches of the original diameter.
Yeah, that's fine. That's what I thought. Right? Make sure it is, and it doesn't stick out of the guards. It doesn't do
anything. No,
it
can't stick out.
It doesn't do anything like that. So I couldn't see why they wouldn't pass.
Okay.
They are only, 2 inches bigger.
How old are the tyres?
The tyres are brand new.
Okay. Well, that's good.
They're probably a couple of years old.
I reckon you'll be right, dude.
So they're still nice. They're still nice and fresh. And I got some good, they're good, decent tires on it and fits properly. There's no poke. There's none of that. So no spaces, no nothing. So I couldn't see why that wouldn't pass.
No, I reckon you'll be right.
Just getting that done. And I'm sure, as I was saying, they'll find something small, probably some bushes on the rear or something like that they'll find, but I feel like I've rectified majority of the safety issue.
Probably more than you needed to do for that one, but you're right, they'll find something.
Yeah.
They'll probably get you for like an alignment or something because you've done all that suspension work, so.
Yeah. I mean, the alignment is done on when they did the whole front suspension with the stock wheels on the front.
Okay, I think you'll be right then.
So that's probably going to be a little bit off.
Yeah.
Putting on these rims now, but that's fine. I was going to do that anyway when I got it on the road, was to chuck it in for an alignment and get that sorted.
That sounds good to me. I reckon that'll the quicker they do that, the better, and then you'll be ready to go.
Yeah, and then I'll have to ask you what the next step is because I don't know.
You've got someone that's a very high member of an esteemed car club on this chat, so he can tell you all the stuff you need to.
Okay.
We know people. That's all right.
Yeah, I'd like
Might not be with our club, but it might be, I know a few clubs that just take I don't mean to take anybody, Scotty. I'm not meaning to cast aspersions on your aspersions on your character or anything. But yeah, I mean, there are still some clubs around that will actually just allow you to join the club and put the car on club plates in the same sort of operation. So we'll get you
beautiful.
What about you, Matty?
Updates with me. I've been doing my MR2. I've been dailying that for the last week and a bit, which has been a lot of fun. I've got to use the days up on it because it's the next permit's about to start next month. So we're using the days up on that. Have noticed that there is beginning a warring amount of oil underneath it. So that rear main is definitely done. It needs to get done properly. So I will be doing that. Hopefully these Christmas holidays, drop it off and either pull the motor myself with the help of Ratner, or I will just leave it in his trusty old school Toyota knowledge hands, and he'll be right to do it. So I've kind of stopped driving that just because I'm like, it's fine. But I'm topping it up a little, keeping it level, but I just don't want that big risk of anything happening too much. So I've kind of eased up on driving it, every day. I went and saw my scamp. Which was parked next to Ratner's scamp. at the front of his workshop. So he's excited by his new little project, which is like, I'm going to get it running and I'm going to just drive it straight home and then work on it at home so I can, at night time, just tinker away at it. And so he's like, I've got to clean the whole fuel system, probably redo the whole fuel system. And I was like, I'll try to get it at the start, but he has to get a whole key set because it didn't have a key. So he's spoken to a locksmith, and a locksmith's coming to do it for him apparently. So once he does that, he will be driving it home, and then getting to work on it, like in his own time as his little project. He's excited for it, and so yeah, that's it was good to see him happy about something, because he's always a miserable man sometimes. So
I wonder if it's worth me sending him a couple of keys that the locksmith could key to the locks to.
Yeah, that'd probably be a great if you've got a spare one or two. That'd be amazing.
Let me have a look at that later tonight when I'm done. If I can find two with the same code on, that could work really well.
Yeah, because he's like, he's...
Is there a tiny little key there?
Tiny key, yeah.
Minuscule little key. So you're not going to find those at quick keys R Us or anything.
Well, he spoke to his locksmith guy. He came in, and the guy laughed at him, and he's always like, "Oh, it was an older locksmith." He's like, "Yeah, these got a really tiny key." He's like, "I don't even think I've got any left, but I'll have a look if I've got any." He's like, "I obviously don't carry them in my truck, but I've got a big key collection at home, so
okay."
So he's going to have a look, but probably won't. So if you do, I'll let him know, and then he can.
I'll just whack in the post to you.
Yeah, that'd be good. What else have I done car related on my end? Drove a brand new Outback XT and drove my brother's new Santa Fe Highlander. Yeah, like comparison back to back, like family cars. Like they're both really, really good. Got nothing but good things to say about both those cars, actually. So for SUVs, if that's what kind of your thing, those are two pretty good options. The Hyundai is nicer finished and it's got nicer amenities and way more bells and whistles. But the Outback was probably the more sure footed drive, being all wheel drive and everything. So did have a bit more roll in it compared to the Hyundai, which I thought was a bit interesting. Okay. So, but yeah, no, both really, really good cars. So yeah, if that's kind of your thing, absolutely have a look at that. So I thought I'd give you some good consumer advice, which we don't really do on this show.
They're both pretty price entry levels too, aren't they? Really.
They are. So like for example, the one I drove was the Sport XT. So that wasn't the top spec, and that was in the 50s. And then the Highlander I drove 68, I think, on the road, which is a lot of money.
It is.
So yeah, that was pretty good. But yeah, again, I mean, everything's kind of getting up there though, like that price range, to be fair. Like it's a lot, they're a lot of car for what you get, but when you look at the price of everything else, it's like, well, you want something similar from Germany for that with all those bells and whistles, or even with none of those bells and whistles, you're still over 100 grand. So and I would prefer a 5-year warranty or a 7-year warranty with a Kia than dropping a 150 grand on a Tiguan, so I don't want to on a Touareg and be burnt after about 2 years. So yeah, but look, it's one of those things. I guess it's like, well, this is kind of the only cars that we really sell here. So you know, I guess we kind of got to get used to driving them and seeing what they're like. And yeah, look, you know, if you had to do it, they're two good options. So the Highlander was with the 3.5 V6. Front wheel drive, dual clutch, and I still don't see a point of a dual clutch in a big SUV or a car in general, like a road car. I've said it before in this show, it is a pointless transmission, unless it's on like a performance car or a race car. The CVT in the Outback wasn't as bad as I thought it would be. It actually drove quite well. What would make those cars better would just be a conventional automatic that just makes sense. But who am I to say? I'm not the bean counters. But yeah, that's been pretty much it on my end, gentlemen. Oh, actually, David Prince, I've got a story for you.
Oh, here we go.
So I was working at Super Cheap, and a customer comes in, and he's got a 2016 Honda Civic.
Mm-hmm.
And they take, I believe, a 0W20 or something along those lines. I'll double check that now, actually, or fact check myself what it takes. And anyway, I checked from Newlon, I checked from Penrod, I checked from Castrol, all their lube guides to basically, you know, cross check that this was the right oil, and it was. Anyway, I said to the guy, you know, you've got to take this certain oil. He's like, no, I don't. I'm like, yeah, you do. And he then proceeded to tell me that I was wrong and his mechanic was right. And he's like, oh, but my car's done, you know, 170,000. I'm like, yeah, but you can't replace metal with oil. To which he then proceeded to tell me that pretty much I was wrong and that, you know, I don't know anything. And I was like, sure, that's fine. So I wasn't annoyed. I was more kind of, you know, I just didn't really know what to say. I was like, well, that's quite kind of interesting. So I was left kind of just kind of gobsmacked as to how that worked. But yeah, he was adamant that I was wrong. And then the oil he chose was like a really cheap oil. It's still a good oil, but like the cheaper oil, and it was like a 1540. And I'm like, that is, you know, considering what that car's supposed to have, that is way too thick. And he's like, no, it's done 170,000 gas. I'm like, yeah, you know, it has, but just would not budge. And I was like, you know what? You do you, man. Like, you do you. So,
did you go home with that one?
Oh no, he went home with the 15W40. Yeah. And when that car should be taken, I'll tell you what it should be taken. I'm just finding the car. I remember what it was. Because I wanted to tell you the story, Mr. Prince, because I in the back of my head, I'm like, oh, if David was here, he'd be like having a heart attack because he's about to destroy the Civic. It takes
all Hondurans like that. Let me just say.
It takes a 0W20, so it was the 1.5 turbo, a 0W20, and you know, I said to him, I said, look, 1540 is going to be way too thick for it. You're going to damage it. He's like, nah. My mechanic. I'm like, okay, dude, you do you, bro. Like that's cool. I was just like, do you get people like that in your industry, David? Like I know how to fix this better. I could do this better, and by completely doing that different. I mean, we all get in all different industries, but like...
Oh, absolutely all the time. I love when people ring me and say, look, it's only going to take a couple of minutes to do. Oh, okay. Or, you know, yeah, just get some of that stuff you've got and just, you know, stick that on there and then, you know, put a bit of heat gun on it. And they're serious, you know. I've got plenty of people that will have a joke to me about it. But when they're serious, it's a bit scary.
So yeah, when I was designing, and you know, people would say, oh, you know, I need a website, I need this, and then you tell them a price, and they'd be like, but you just got to click a few buttons and stuff like that. I'm like, it doesn't work that way. It's a whole process, you know. It's I tell people that I was a graphic designer, and then their response would be like, oh, do you draw? And I'm like, yeah, I draw, and then they'd like completely put their nose up, but you're like, oh, he just draws. Don't, you know, that's not a real job. So then I proceeded to tell everybody I was a doctor, and nobody ever questioned me for about like 2 years, which was quite funny. But anyway, that's another story of my life. But yeah,
well, you're lucky because I've had 38 years of people saying to me, "Oh, so you're the leather man, are you?" And that's got all sorts of undesirable connotations.
Yes.
Not that there's anything wrong with leather. Don't get me wrong.
I was not going to continue that, but yes, I understand.
Actually, the best one I had, I did have an argument with the head of Porsche Cars Australia several years ago. They had a fault where a mark on a seat of a car, a 911, and they said the it wasn't the people I normally deal with through Porsche Melbourne, which is a separate division to Porsche Cars Australia, but this was a customer that had raised the concern higher than Porsche Melbourne, and the guy said something about, you know, we'd expect, you know, what's happened here, you know, we'd expect much better from, you know, our full leather interiors. And I said to him, well, actually, that part of the car is actually vinyl; it's not leather. You know, it's like the because the rear seats in those was leather, unless you ordered the, you know, $15,000 or $20,000 option of full leather, the back seat was vinyl. And and he said, no, I think you'll find it's actually leather. And I sort of thought to myself, okay, how do we handle this? I said, it is actually vinyl. I can, you know, no, you're wrong. I said, oh, okay, I'm sorry. I've been doing this a while. I think I thought I could tell the difference between vinyl and leather. And then he had me sort of guessing myself and thought, oh, how embarrassing in front of the head of Porsche Cars Australia, you know. But he was just obviously, he was head of Porsche Cars because he could, you know, think that he could railroad everybody. But I was right. It was vinyl.
So. Did you tell him that? Hey, well, did you know it is vinyl? Did he come around in the end, or did you just not bother?
From memory, he just pretended that yeah, it must have been a running change made because they were all leather. You know,
yes,
that necessarily wasn't the case. But yeah, it's really interesting when you come across people that don't value what you do or don't take your opinion, and you can't do anything about it. You've just got to, if they're adamant, you know, that they're right, you're not going to change their mind very easily. So it's a whole personality type, I think. But yeah,
if you get people that are saying 1 + 1 = 6, and then and they're adamant that it is, you're like, okay, that's fine.
That's right. More so power. Hopefully, his 2016 Civic survives to the next oil change, but
I don't think it'd be very happy until the next.
I don't think it'll be happy at all.
It's 0W20 for a reason for the turbo, yeah, to get all those little you know, oil lines and everything. But don't say I didn't warn you, buddy. I think the professional lube guides from Castrol, Newlon, and Penrite wouldn't be wrong if they're all promoting a 0W20. But anyway, that's it's not like an old Falcon where you can put like bloody cooking oil in it and it'll still run. anyway, that's a whole nother world. But I wanted to talk to you guys before we get to our topic. Like, again, driving some new cars recently and having a little bit of a play, and I've driven a fair few new cars over the last couple of years, and I'm noticing a worrying trend. And I think, David, I think you're probably going to pick up on it as well. Like, especially with the interiors, you can see where the pennies are being pinched. So, like, for example, on the sides of the seat, it's got like this fabric material, even though it's a leather seat. So where you can't see it, and you put your hand there, like, and it's just like they've saved that little bit of leather, they've put a bit of fabric there.
Yeah.
And I find that really annoying. Like, you know, it's how hard can it be just to put the whole seat to do it, you know? And
the thing is, when that cost of that one piece of leather is amortized over the hundreds of thousands of cars they build, then it makes a difference, you know. And if they can, you know, save, I don't know how much it would be, you know, even down to the cents probably for that much, you know, that piece of leather. Yeah. But if you say that over, you know, 100, 200,000 cars, then, you know, you've made a saving. I always remember I've got a good mate that I've known for years through the industry who's a retired trimmer, and he worked at Toyota for about 35 years. I think I might have mentioned him before. He's got rolls of old Corolla CS fabric in his garage. And, you know, if you're restoring an old Corolla, this is the man to see, because he's got rolls of fabric. When the model changed over, they'd just throw out all the current ones, and he'd just drag them out of the skip and take them home.
Do you reckon, Mr. Prince, he could, you know, if we find an old couch, we could use that material and redo the couch in that?
100%.
I reckon that would be amazing.
Imagine having a nice CSX Toyota Corona, you know, insert.
That'd be nice.
That'd be so epic.
But I always remember him telling me a story where they had the engineers come out from Japan and to the trim shop, and they made them tighten their seams by like half an inch on each seam, so make the covers fit tighter. So for the half an inch strip of material that they saved on each seat, that was considered to them like cutting their costs and a real bonus. So yeah, there are always going to be those sort of corners cut, if you like. Most cars, particularly four wheel drives, the side panel of the driver's seat where you climb in and out, even Rangers and all those sorts of things, that part fails because it's vinyl. And it gets moved over, you know, that's the highest wear point in the car. And, that part on everything from, you know, Rangers to BMWs, is the first part to go. And the problem with trying to repair it, just with the techniques we use, I mean, you're trying to cobble together something that's damaged. I mean, you're much better to replace those damaged sections with a new piece of trim, which is the next step up from what I do. But you're quite right. If you look closely, you can certainly see evidence where they're cutting corners.
Yeah, because like I put my hand down the side of the seat when I put my seatbelt in, and I'm like, and on both the Santa Fe and the Outback and some other cars that I've driven as well recently, I expected it from MGs and stuff, which had the same thing, but. I was like, oh, that's the fabric there that I can see where the penny pinch there. But it's not even those. Like my brother's C63 on, you know, underneath the seat, like, you know, at the edge of where your knees go, where your knee, the knee roll is, underneath there is a little strip of you know, cheap fabric. And I'm like, well, that's, you know, it shows that there, it's not just your everyday brands, it's your premium brands as well. And Porsche,
$1 a dollar.
Yeah, $1 a dollar, correct. Yeah, so. In your opinion, David, with interiors, and this is what I'm pretty much alluding to. Have you noticed that over the years, despite the advancements in technology and products, the decline in quality is that a thing? Do you reckon the quality has declined or has it kind of
certainly changed over time? And a lot of it's got to do with fashion. Okay. I mean, I think back to the 80s and the MB Tex in fitted to old Benzes was always just the absolute, you know, best material in a car. It was like so durable and wore really, really well. And early into the early 2000s, the materials they used in those cars really deteriorated in quality, to the point now even. I worked on a car the other day that was a 2019, I think it was. Yeah, 2019 GL, insert whatever letter of the alphabet you want to put after it, but it was a GL something SUV-ish. And it had the Ambler interior, which is the new version of MBTX, not a scrap on the old stuff, and that had started to crack already. And I said, hang on, this is probably a warranty issue, isn't it? No, 3-year warranty on that car up, you know, until 3 or 4 months after it was released, then it became a 5-year warranty. So that car was out of warranty. So I repaired it. It probably won't last long because once that starts cracking due to use and wear, then it renders it unrepairable with a sort of welding technique, but we can tidy it up for how long, those someone else's guess. And then there's also been a huge push with recyclable plastic materials and things in cars. So the quality and the makeup of the chemical makeup of the plastic has changed too. So went through a period with really harsh plasticky looking plastics in them that scratched really easily and marked really easily. So that was another sort of stage of development. I think the quality or the improvements they've made now to those recyclable materials is really evident. And the other thing too, I think the quality of a car can be measured by the touch points. So all those points that you actually touch with your hands when you're driving or getting in or out of the car, as long as they make those feel premium, then the car automatically feels better quality. But yeah, you look through any, what cars spring to mind? Oh, I don't know, probably, you know, the Daihatsus and those sorts of things, you know, even up to the end, they were all pretty harsh in the plastic trims and stuff. Even some Hondas in the mid-2000s, I remember the third-gen CRVs, the plastics in those marked really easily. So especially in the load area where people load them up with cases and things like that and scratch them, repaired lots of those in my time too. They repair pretty well, but still, they mark really easily in the process. So automatically, they pretty quickly look tatty and ratty.
That's something I'm like I'm on the Fiesta forums, obviously, with my car, and from all accounts, the seats are wear okay, but like the Sencisco materials that you know, that fake, it's vinyl really at the end of the day, isn't it?
Yep.
And I put seat covers on the car, you know, because my biggest issue is like when you go over the side bolsters, you're just going to rub it to pieces and just destroy it. I've seen people get their Ranger seats, like my brother's first Ranger, yeah, or second Ranger, I should say, he had, the bottom, the base of the seat got replaced on the warranty because it just yep. was just was no good. And he went and asked when he said to the lady on the phone about, you know, hey, my driver's seat's, you know, collapsing, it's falling apart. They're like, oh yeah, it's super common. All Rangers are doing it. Just bring it in. We'll swap it over for you. And they would literally have boxes of brand new, you know, bases of seats, just one in, one out, one in, one out.
Yep.
So, pretty crazy.
Interestingly, in my Volkswagen, I've had, I bought a set of those super trim is the company that does them. The neoprene seat covers, and they have worn incredibly well. They're this is actually my second Caddy. So the first one I got was 2016, I think. So yeah, what's that? We're up to sort of 6 years, 6-7 years. That'd be right. Because I changed them over to the new van. They were still in really good condition, gave them a wash, and they've been really fine, and they totally protect the sides of the seats and the faces of the seats. They've been really good. So there is neoprene's a really good material. I think they should consider using in parts of cars.
Well, it's funny you say that because, like, you know, obviously the seat covers I put in the Fiesta were neoprene. I don't know if you've seen it, David, since I've had it, but they fit really well, and I got them custom made. But Subaru with the Outback XT, or the Outback Sport, I should say. That mid range comes with neoprene seats, so like they're actually they're neoprene, so you can they're water resistant, they're waterproof actually, neoprene to be fair, and like really really hard wearing interior, and I can see why people that you're into the outdoors that'd be your pick, because you can just, you know.
Yeah, so for people that don't know, I mean, neoprene is basically wetsuit material, so it's a rubberized compound with a fabric, almost canvas backing bonded to it, or canvas-like material bonded to it, and that's what gives you the. And yeah, so the rubber takes the shape of the seat, and that canvas material that's bonded to it sort of protects the rubber. So, yeah, I mean, the water's not going to go through the rubber. So, yeah, they would be they're great on that level.
Yeah.
Any of the other thing that really quickly dates interiors, I find, is the use of piano black. So many cars, drives me spare. It scratches and marks so easily. Shows all the dust, number one.
Fingerprints,
that's right. But, yeah, scratches incredibly easily. So I'm forever now getting people saying, oh, can you redo the piano black in my car? I said, no. Yeah, I mean, the only way to do it is actually go to a panel shop and get them to just ultra-high gloss black resprayed in black, but yeah, it's just one of those things that the designers might think it looks fantastic and really funky and cutting edge, but it's not practical to live with.
No, like it, you know, one of the cars Steph was looking at was a Sportage, and lovely car, but like the little center bits all piano black. And I'm like, if I was to get this car, I would get a piece of contact,
yeah,
put over the top. Yeah. And then just because it'd just do my head in, like I couldn't do it. I actually couldn't do it. Either that, or I could get like a clear film, you know, clear film wrap, just pop it over the top, and then because it's just going to scratch like absolute crazy. So, but yeah, that's me with that. But anyway, interesting to hear your thoughts. Now, gentlemen, Scotty came up with a really really good idea for tonight for a topic. What was your topic? And let's get straight into it.
Yeah, so looking at special editions, because car manufacturers love to release special editions.
They love it. They love a special edition, don't they?
And I think we kind of know they use them to get rid of some old stock.
100%.
Like some stickers and things.
No, are you sure, Scotty? Are you sure?
I got a feeling. And it's funny how they call them special editions, but I'm pretty sure 30, 40 years down the track, if you've got one, it's not going to increase value. It's just those.
I love to think that it would.
It's funny that you, because a good mate of mine, I think you guys have both met him, George, who's come to Sakura Picnic with me. He's my housemate's partner. Basically, his parents have got a VT Olympic Edition, Commodore.
I want that to be worth money.
Oh yeah, but and his parents are like, oh, it's an Olympic edition. They bought a brand new. The car's had it, but they've kept it. and George is like, it's not going to be worth anything. It's not like an SS or something, but it's an Olympic edition. They're convinced that it'll be worth something, but in a lot of ways, it's not exactly that point, is it, Scotty?
No, it's usually maybe some decals put on it, a different badge or special colors, or you might get a different rims or something put on it. It's usually very, very minuscule. And I think that's probably what keeps them as not being valuable.
Yeah.
So from what I've seen, you've got the Jeep. You got the Jeep Trackhawk, which is phenomenal machine, that thing. But then you've got the Jeep Black Hawk. And I think from what I've seen, it's just got some black rims. You can get it in different colors, not just black, but it's got some black rims and some other black bits and the Black Hawk badge and stuff put on it.
I believe they've got a Trail Hawk, which is actually trail rated, and they're actually good off-road. Because they've had proper, it's been properly went over. They've actually got real proper capability. But like other ones are like the black edition. What have you done? Just made things black. Like, I'm like, come on, man.
Yeah. That's what I was really aiming at with this, is just those real terrible little gimmicks that just equate to nothing. It hasn't been tested. There's nothing special. They just slapped something on it, a sticker.
As I was saying earlier, the Civic got to here at the moment, the Grand Prix edition, I mean, they even based it on the base model. So no taco. Just, recessed headlights rather than the nice flush fitting ones that GL had. But no, people are just going to buy it because it's a limited edition. They did the same a bit later on with the Indy edition, EKs, based that on the CXI. So rear drums, no taco, no nothing, but alloy wheels and a spoiler and an Indy edition badge on the tailgate. So, they phoned that one in too.
I think that was the Ford, the F-150 Harley Davidson edition.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
That was just badge two, I think, from memory. I don't think there was much in that one.
You had a badge and you had a seat emblem Harley Davidson. I'm just like, oh, dude, no. Like, it could be Ford's done some shockers. Like they've done the Ford Mustang Night Pony. I don't know if you guys ever saw that.
Night Pony.
Yeah, for the Mark E. So basically, I'm reading it. I had this up because I wanted to tell you guys, and you really brought that up.
Yeah, I know this one.
Ford asked the public to name a new Mustang Special Edition, and the final options were Shadow, Stallion, Alistair, Shadow Mia, and Night Pony. We can all agree that three of those four names are acceptable, and yet Ford went for the worst option.
Is that available here, or is that going to be available here?
I think that was an American only one, but wow. Basically, it's got to be. You're trying to. Everyone calls them a pony car, right? But like, it makes it sound a bit. It's not really an aggressive name. The Night Pony, and I don't know what the hell were they thinking, man? Like,
could have been the My Little Pony.
That is true. That is true. Actually, to be fair, I'd probably sell to, because really a Mustang convertible in the States is a real daddy bought it for me car, isn't it? So the My Little Pony edition would suit that car very well.
Actually, we'll have to hit up our friend Minister Wrong for some custom plates and just My Little. you could have this.
But I did some research on this Scotty, and there's a couple that I wanted to mention that they weren't sold here, but they're equally as bad. Just for that name. Now you guys all know, you know, the band Bon Jovi.
Indeed.
Volkswagen got into bed with Bon Jovi, the band, and they did a Bon Jovi edition Golf back in the day.
Wow.
You'll be living on a prayer once the warranty's up, that's for sure. But that's my one joke of the day. The fact that they did a Bon Jovi edition, it just makes absolutely no sense. Just a quick cash grab to sell cars. The Cadillac Brougham Trump Limo. So obviously for, you know, Mr. Trump himself, the former president of the United States of Freedom.
Way to limit your market.
Oh man. So apparently he ordered a whole bunch, right? And this is the story behind it, but he only took delivery of like a few. So they had to sell them. So imagine owning a Trump limo in an old Brougham limo. That would be a horrible thing. And my last one is from a company that should know better, but coming to think of it, they probably don't. Lamborghini. They did the Diablo Victoria's Secret Edition. And they had a whole bunch of Victoria's Secret models posing with the car. And I'm just like, I don't know what you're trying to show here, but, you know, we're still trying to figure out Victoria's Secret. There's my second joke for the night. But there's, you know, the fact that that car actually existed is a bit of a... Like seriously, nobody's gonna buy that. Would you rock up to the supercar meet with your Victoria's Secret edition? You know, of all Lamborghinis, you know, that's when you go, oh, I've got the Murcielago. Oh, what do you got? Oh, I've got the Victoria's Secret edition. Oh, you've got that car, dear. That's cool. It'd be more like that's horrible. So that were three I thought I'd bring up, and the fact that they existed is really
is sad.
It is sad. It is sad.
I had the I go back a bit further than you boys. The HB Brabham Tirana. I don't know that Jack would like to have had his name. Well, he did at the time, I'm sure, have it emblazoned all across a basically a rebadged Vauxhall Viva from the UK, which were never a particularly good car. The one thing that car did have was that they had quite a plain dashboard base model cars just had a speedo on one side and a combination gauge with a fuel gauge and a temperature gauge in it. That model pioneered the Taco, so at least they got a Taco, and the Speedo, and then four smaller round gauges. And then when the LC Tiranas came out after the HB, that was the GTR dashboard. So it was actually a GTR dashboard before the GTR was even a thing. So that was the one good thing about that car.
That's cool.
So it had some stripes across the bonnet, sort of. I don't know if you remember in America, the Camaro, Chef Camaro SSs, they actually had a stripe that sort of ran across the front of the top of the grill and down the side guards. I think the Rally Sports actually had it. So it was, if you look from the side, it was actually a vertical stripe sort of just down near the front bumper bar that went up the panel and across the front of the bonnet and down the other side. And the Brabham Tiranas had that as well. So trying to make it look a bit Rally Sport, I think, too, from the GM stable.
Now, Brabham, like, I mean, that era, was he still racing Formula One that era, or he would have been done by then, wouldn't he have been?
That's a really good question. No, I'm pretty sure he was still involved. That was only 68, 69. So, you know, I'm pretty sure he was still very big name then in Formula One. Hmm. So it was a bit of a coup, I reckon, for Holden to get. It would be like, you know, someone today getting... I was going to say the Ricciardo edition, but it would need to be someone that's winning, wouldn't it? It would be the Verstappen, edition or something like that. You know? Sorry, Daniel, if you're listening. So it was a pretty good get on their part. He certainly had a reputation and a name. I think it actually had a slightly higher output engine, so there was not much to work with. I think they were 1100 or 1200 cc engine, you know, in that. And I've got the brochure, I've got some brochures out in the garage, and you know, they've got some action shots, and the angles of the wheels, you know, in the action shots show that handling probably wasn't its forte, I'm guessing. I think he actually specified radial tires as standard, which was not a, you know, not necessarily a standard thing back then. So that could only have helped the handling, but yeah. But mind you, then of course, Peter Brock, the Brock Holm, VC Brock Commodores, everybody knows them as. That was the start of a very long line of successful things. The Brock Samara, the Brock Lada Samara, probably not so much the successful cars. Do what you have to do. The strangest one to my way of thinking from the early 90s it would have been, was the Tamworth Edition Hilux.
Oh, I didn't know they did one of those.
Yeah, there was a Tamworth Edition to celebrate the Tamworth Country Music Festival. And actually came with a guitar. So most of them, I think I've only ever seen them in a metallic blue, and they had like a blue graphic down the side that said Tamworth. And you could get it in the single cab and the dual cab. And my mate had a two-wheel drive dual cab Tamworth. Didn't have the guitar, though, because he did buy it secondhand, and whoever he bought it from hadn't supplied the guitar with it, so...
I would have said, no, I'm not buying it. Give me the guitar.
Yeah, that's right. I want the
full deal. Well, this way, a guitar is better than the Trump edition, where you just got some fake gold tacked onto the to the old Brougham limo and then make it a Trump edition. So I would have preferred a guitar, to be fair.
And a bottle of spray tan in the glove box.
So what else you got, Scotty?
Well, I'm going to throw in the Nissan Pulsar Reebok.
I didn't know until I researched it, because we discussed the Reebok before, but I didn't know about for the few years, because I always used to see Reeboks everywhere, but I didn't realize how actually rare they were. They only made 200 of them. Made 100 autos and 100 manuals.
But I think the best thing that you got there was you got a pair of Reebok shoes too. Well, that's the bonus you got there. Another one I've got. So most of mine, I tried to find some that were released here in Australia as well.
Yep.
The Land Rover Defender. You got the Tomb Raider edition.
Wow! So, I've never seen one of them.
Yeah, I mean they're expensive as it is already, a Land Rover Defender. Let alone getting a Tomb Raider edition.
I mean, do you think Lara Croft would actually drive one of those? Like, let's be honest here. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, it's pretty funny. It comes with heaps of like roof racks and spotlights, like all over it, pretty much, and just in one color. So at least it kind of came with some extras. My next one is the Volkswagen Golf GTI Adidas edition.
Yes.
So that had the special Adidas stitching on there, and it came with some 18-inch alloy wheels, Bizenon headlights, and then just the Adidas logo thrown around everywhere.
You know, they did a Pirelli edition as well, like back in the day.
There's one lived around the corner from me. They had the coolest fabric interiors, like a tread pattern of a tire.
They had the tread pattern of the tire that came with, and they were all dual clutch. They're all DSGs. A mate of mine had a yellow one, that piss yellow color that they came in, the Mark Fives. And he was always saying how good it was. It's a Pirelli edition, and he's like, "Oh yeah, I got the Pirelli edition." You know, he was very proud of the Pirelli edition. So Patrick, if you're listening, you know who you are. Not the normal Patrick that comes on the show, but an old friend from high school of mine. He was always like, you know, the Pirelli edition was just such a higher standard than your standard GTI. That was always good times. But yeah, it also came with the Pirelli the P symbol on the wheels, I think, from memory too, which was kind of cool.
Fancy. How many were those made?
That's a great question. I'm actually going to look that up. VW Golf.
Well, while you look that up, my final one that I've got here is the Hello Kitty Smart 4.2 edition.
Yeah.
Now, surely that wasn't sold in Australia.
No, that one wasn't, though. So that was my last one, wasn't sold here. But I suppose there was only like 22 of them in a full and partial wrap designs were available in a range of colours.
So was that in Japan?
Designs. It was a collaboration between Smart USA. So I would say probably in the US.
Wow, interesting.
Yeah.
Because, of course, the 4.2 in Japan was one of the only, one of only two non-Japanese built K-cars.
K-cars, yeah. Mm-hmm. I can't find how many Pirelli editions that they sold, but you got yellow stitching on the inside. You got a bit more power. Cool car.
It's a Pirelli. You're getting a bit more power and stuff like that.
Yeah. I'll type in how many. But anyway, the Hello Kitty edition.
And then to throw Ford under the bus again. You can correct me if I'm wrong.
No, mate, throw them under. Throw them under.
But the BA, they released the Cobra edition, and I feel all it came with was the stripes and some badging.
Had more power, 302, had 302 kilowatts over the original 290. Came with the R-Spec, track day suspension and brakes in your package. And were, a lot more expensive, but there's also two editions that people forget with the BA. So the BA will be series Falcon. So like the Cobra came in the BF, but same car fundamentally. The BA Mark IIs, they had, an Enforcer edition and, the Devil R edition. I don't know if you remember.
Yes, I do remember those.
Wow. Yeah. Do you remember those, David?
I do not.
Yeah, so they are quite the rare beast. So they were both XR8s. They were made to celebrate Ford's comeback and Ford's win for the last two V8 supercar series, with Marcus Ambrose winning and Russell Inger winning. And they were in the same team, and they were driving the BA Ford. Which was, again, Ford's big comeback, because Jeff Pilates really tried to push Ford again after that, because like after the AU, the disaster that was the AU, the BA was a real comeback car for Ford. And so they had the Enforcer edition, which was they all came in Envy green. They had Enforcer on the bonnet bulge. They're all XR8s, manual or auto, green stitching on the leather interior. They had the Enforcer in the headrest, I believe. Signed engine cover, and the Devil R edition was for Marcus Ambrose, and they were all in, I think, Silhouette blue. I think no, not Silhouette blue, Shockwave blue, I believe. And they the same treatment exactly, just in the blue car with the red stripes. So there. That's a bit of a history lesson for you, David.
Wow, I'm impressed. I just remember the Rip Curl edition.
The Rip Curl edition, yes. The Rip Curl Ute. That was cool. That was very.
And they
cool.
had the magnet.
Oh, they had the magnet. That's right. They did have the magnet.
The magnet too. I remember that one.
Do you remember the ad for the magnet?
Yeah, I do remember the ad.
It was a cracky ad. There was
involve girls, maybe.
I think you're right, Mr. Prince.
I think you're honest. I haven't actually seen it,
but I can put it together.
It was those two guys that did the AU ads, like those two Aussie guys that must be stuck in third, and then they drove. It was them still driving it, like they kept hiring them. Anyway, they're driving this magnet ute through a country town, and then they turn around and all these people just walking out of pubs and houses and stuff, and all these just women just following. They're like, yeah, it's causing a bit of a stir. So that was quite a funny ad. It wouldn't go too well today, that's for sure. It wouldn't pass PC culture that is 2023. But
yeah, probably not.
It's funny. Yeah. You just reminded me too, Scotty, when you were talking about to get rid of old models and parts bins. One of the most famous one, which was very imaginatively called the Holden. I don't think they were calling it Monaro back then, the Holden Limited Edition, which was basically an HJ version of the Monaro when there wasn't really an HJ version of the Monaro. but they only came in burgundy with a burgundy interior, honeycomb sort of hubcaps on the steel rims to make it look like it had alloy wheels, and 8-track cartridge players in them. When 8-track cartridge players were actually no longer a thing. So that was actually, it sticks out in my mind as one of the most ill-conceived and probably, you know, cheapest limited editions. I mean, they didn't even call it anything creative other than limited edition. It was just to get rid of the old Monaro body shells. And yeah, they painted them all the same color and put an 8-track in them. They were burgundy, and I think they had gold pinstriping or silver pin. I think it'd be gold pinstriping with LE on the bodywork and a coach just stripe, you know. So they're worth a bit of money now, but not huge money. It's just more the curiosity value, which I think any limited edition that tour survived is you know, got some curiosity.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, every time we see a Carlos and Putty on the road, I'm like, oh, Carlos and Putty, I get excited.
It's that Putty to you, Matthew. I mean, she's laser royalty, really.
She is, mate. She's a goddess among women. She really, you know, brought the laser, yeah, the laser name home. So, there's been some absolute shockers. As you said, it's got to sell a few more, sell them at the door. Like the RZ Toyotas that they had, like they just put a sticker pack on a Camry and a Corolla. Oh yeah, that's the that's your RZ.
I don't even know what RZ stands for.
And Mr. Shades, we're looking at you. Basically, air conditioning was still optional. But they fitted it and called it the Mazda Shades. I mean, you know, they made it standard. That was again not a big stretch.
Yeah, but it's clever marketing because they did sell quite a few Mazda Shades. Even though like the Holden Commodore Equip, you know, it comes equipped with a few more things. Same thing with the Cruise Equip and all those things. They came equipped with a few more things, which when you add it up anyway, it was pretty. But it probably would have been the same amount to option that a car with those few little things anyway. So. But it's just the funny things that car makers do. Now, I did find out how many Pirelli editions were made. 10,500 worldwide, I believe. So,
10,500. Okay, well, that's not that limited an edition, really.
No, it's not. It's actually quite substantial. That's quite the amount. Any last ones, gentlemen, before we move on to tonight's quiz?
Well, considering parts bins, I know Holden did something to get rid of some of those Pontiac front ends.
Yeah.
Remember the Pontiac GTO and they had all the front ends left over?
That's right. Yeah, they did. They actually did.
Yeah. Get rid of those and stick them on some fronts. So I don't really see them around anymore, though, actually.
So that was available in Oz. You could get the GTO front end.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Front end.
Yep.
There you go.
Absolutely. I think Fiat 500, they did a 500 695 tributo Ferrari, like you know, a Ferrari tribute. I'm just like, I'm not like, I get what you're trying to do, but like, it's more cool as its own thing as a Fiat 500 a Bath. Like that's, you know, like it's a cooler car. And to make it a bit more Ferrari, it's a bit wanky. And I'm like,
there was a Maserati version too.
There was. I don't know. That's just. One of those different, you know, weird things. But anyway, I believe in Japan they did a. I just jogged my memory looking back through you know a few different ones, the Mitsubishi Pajero Mini Snoopy Edition.
That's cool.
Actually, I'd buy that. I think that's really cool.
Yeah,
I would buy that. So it's basically a K Pajero, everyone's like, it seems like a waste of money, but it's just a big giant Snoopy sticker on the back, you know, spare tire, you know, thing. It's got paw prints for mud flaps, on the mud flaps, and you know, Snoopy on the side. I would buy that. I think that's a special edition. I would happily spend my money on. I'm a very lame kind of guy like that, but I think that's kind of cool. But anyway,
yeah, I like that. I'm just like that now.
There are also dealer special editions too, when dealer networks put things out. I always remember Stillwell Ford and Q used to put out their own sort of special customized version. And it was never really clear what it involved, but it did have a BSS, which stood for, which were Bib Stillwell's initials, personally customized or something. So, and I remember the badge on the bootlet of different models, but it would be on anything. It would be a Cortina or a Falcon or a LTD or whatever was going around. And Josh Sadie actually in Essendon in the early 90s when the EG Civic came out, they actually did a teddy bear version of that. And it had Ronal teddy bear alloys on it. And seat covers with the where the headrest had ears on it, like a teddy. So I'd love to find one of those, but I don't know that many would survive. But the wheels are probably worth more than the car now, actually.
Correct. I think the survival rate on that car would be very, very minimal.
Very low.
Well, that was another exciting edition of worst car or weirdest car special editions ever. So we'll have to revisit this when in a year's time when some more get released that car companies are been on the bit on the piss and said, and they will. You know, like let's do that. I mean, Jeep even did like a Wrangler Call of Duty, you know, Modern Warfare 3 edition. So if they can do that, then you know we can have a Super Mario Odyssey Honda Odyssey edition. So
yeah, why not?
That would work. Super Mario Odyssey edition, yeah, absolutely.
I mean, I would buy. I would mark my words. And
100%.
Honda, if you're listening, you know, I'm. I don't have a lot of money, but I would buy that just to prove a point that car would be for me.
We'll have to do a series too. We didn't even get to the Iron Man Hyundai Kona. So.
Yes. Well. Okay. Well, we have to end on that one. That's a cracker. Let's end on that one, David Prince. that was the Iron Man.
That was the Hyundai Kona Iron Man edition.
Yeah, and what was that? What was different to the standard Kona?
It was meant to look like Iron Man, I suppose. It was sort of a steel grey colour, and the highlights on it were like a burgundy. It was quite a bit more expensive. I don't know what else. I never actually looked at one, but they were a thing. And it wasn't that long ago. We're only talking probably 4 years ago now, I suppose.
Well,
so the first shape Kona, Iron Man edition.
There you go. There you go. Before we embarrass ourselves anymore, let's get into Scotty's version of the car quiz. Now, I'm assuming this would be Cryptic Cars.
It is Cryptic Cars.
There we go.
Most of them are Australian delivered, except for the very first one. Cool. And I just threw in a special edition question in there too.
Mm.
Oh, okay.
All right. So this quiz is going to be a duel because we've got two people here, Maddie versus David.
Mano y mano.
Oh, yeah.
Ready for question one?
Let's do it.
All right. Question one, the Hennessy Toxin GT.
Matthew? That'd be the Venom GT.
It is the Venom GT.
Oh, okay.
That was the fastest car in the world at one point, I believe.
It was at one point, yeah.
So where's the Hennessy fit in?
That's the name of the company.
That's just the name of the company.
Oh, okay, there you go. Yes. Not a volume seller, I'm guessing.
It's not the drinking Hennessy. It's the
I was going to say whiskey.
No, it's not a special edition.
Very special edition.
Yeah, I should do a Jim Beam.
a VB Commodore edition, but like with a VB, not actual the VB model.
Perfect.
Maybe ultimate as a car.
Awesome.
Okay, question number two. The Nissan, I think I might have done this one before, but anyway, Nissan Supernova.
David. Oh, no. I was going to say Star Wagon, but that's Mitsubishi. So that's wrong.
No.
What was it? What did you say? The Nissan
Supernova.
Oh. Yeah. No, I've got it. No, I know what it is now.
Supernova. Jeez, I got no idea on that one. Super Turbo? I don't know. Like, I've got no idea.
No, I don't get the point now, but it was Polestar, wasn't it?
Yeah, Polestar.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Yes. Zip Polestar. Next one is the Holden Courtyard or Square. Like a big open place, big square where you can all hang out. That kind of square.
Courtyard or Square? That's a... I'm trying to think. It wouldn't be... I don't know. It's a tough one. What do you think, David? It's a
tough one. Wow. Holden Quadrangle. No idea.
I think it's square as in not the shape of a square, but a square where...
Oh, I know again.
You can go, David. You haven't buzzed in, so...
Oh, David, I'll buzz in.
Yes, David.
Holden Piazza.
Yeah, Piazza. Oh,
yeah.
Piazza.
Yeah, that's a good one. Yeah.
Now, sorry, no more cars that the manufacturer sold four of, okay? Come on.
I think they're a good-looking car. I actually really like the way that they're styled. But
it was the Isuzu Ace of Clubs show car, and it was basically, I think it was Jujaria, was it?
Yeah, it was. Yeah, absolutely. It was, yeah.
Designed it, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, no, you're quite right. Evidently, the axle tramp was something to be experienced, but rather hard-breaking, but, you know. Can't have everything.
They weren't a handler. They were quick in a straight line, but they weren't a handler.
It was all about style.
Yeah.
Style.
Question number four. Sticking with Holden, this is the Holden Scuttle or Scamper.
David? Holden Scurry?
Yeah, the Scurry.
Oh, well done.
Okay.
Speaking about the Piazza, just a car, like that car is what social media influencer is now. Like, it looks good, you know, it goes, but can't do anything else right. Like
doesn't have a lot of substance.
It just looks good. It's
the Piazza, unlike the Scurry.
The Scurry. Oh, my goodness. So that was the badge engineered version of the Suzuki Carrick, wasn't
Scurry,
it?
Yeah.
Hmm. It's when they had the Barina. So Holden took the Barina, which was basically a Swift.
Swift, yeah.
And because they were getting that, they also had to take the wasn't it Jimny then? Sierra. They had to take Sierra, and it was a rebadged Drover. Holden Drover and the Holden Scurry. Don't think they sold any of those.
They didn't.
Actually, no. The club's got a Holden Drover on club plates with us. So there is one on the road still.
That's very cool.
Question number five is the Morris Boatyard.
Yeah. Boat anchor, did you say? Or boat?
Boatyard.
Yard.
Morris Boatyard.
Matthew? Marina.
Yes, it is the Marina. Morris Marina.
Score check. David 2, myself 2.
Anybody's
game.
Just rolls off the tongue nicely. Morris Marina. Okay, this is the special edition that you need to try and tell me what it was called. So, in 1975, Ford released a special Falcon GT. What was it called?
David? 75 GT. Yes.
Straight after, a year before, with their great win at Bathurst.
I was going to say it was the John Goss edition.
Correct.
Ah.
It is. You're right. It is the
John Goss edition. It was based on a GT, but anyway. In a hardtop, the Johnny Goss edition.
Yeah, the John Goss special.
They were basically white with either blue, green, or there's another colour, blue-green accents.
Yeah, it was like a two-tone.
Yeah.
I was just reading about it before. Sounds pretty nifty.
They were all the 302. They never got the 351 treatment.
No, just a small one?
The small one, yeah.
Disappointing.
I was thinking the years, I'm like, is it a Cobra? No, I think it's too...
Not yet.
Not yet, because I was like, it's too early to be a Cobra. And I was, and then yeah. when... As, then he said John Goss. I'm like, yeah, it's a John Goss.
It's a John Goss. Question number seven. The Ford Pirate.
Oh, jeez.
Yes, if you know your history on pirates, you'd probably get this one, but I didn't. I know that this word was meant pretty much the same thing, so.
Oh, can we get a decade?
Oh, you can, but you just got to wait a second.
That's right.
Steez.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Through the 60s, but later came to Australia into the 80s, early 90s.
Yeah, it's the, Matthew.
Matthew?
It's the Ford Maverick, right?
Not the Maverick, no.
Oh, okay. Ooh. All right, I'm out.
Pirate. That came to Australia, so it wasn't locally produced.
Yes, from what I can tell, it's it gets pretty confusing. Okay. This was used. The model was used for Nissan Pintaras also.
Ooh, David.
David?
The Ford Corsair.
Yeah, Corsair.
Is that what Corsair means? I was about to say, it wouldn't be the stupid Corsair, would it be? Like,
the stupid Corsair.
Like, that doesn't even make sense. Like, how do you get pirate and Corsair?
Yeah,
actually, it's the name of a boat, isn't it? A Corsair? I think like a pirate, like a something related to pirates still, but the it's like a small warship or a small something like that, I think, is the actual meaning.
There was even a fighter plane in World War II called the Corsair too.
There was.
There you go.
Yeah. My friend who worked at, we've talked about my friend who worked at Ford through those years, they used to call it the Ford Corsair. they despised it.
Wasn't a good car.
No.
All right. Question 8. This is my favorite one because it sounds funny. The Suzuki Robust Lad.
Robust Lad.
Updated.
Oh, yes. David?
Yeah. The Mighty Boy.
Yeah, the Mighty Boy.
Mighty Boy.
The Robust Lad.
As soon as you buzzed in, I was like, oh, I know what it is. It just came anyway.
Mighty Boy.
All right, question 9. Question 9 has a swear word in it. So,
okay.
Not a real bad one because I hear him say it on the radio now these days, so it shouldn't be too bad.
Cool. But everything basically goes these days on the radio. So.
Question 9 is the Daihatsu shit.
I don't think they've got a car called the crap, so I don't know. Oh, Daihatsu shit. Okay.
Daihatsu excrement.
Matthew, the Daihatsu poo? I don't know. Like,
Daihatsu. No, can't even begin to think of what that could be.
The Daihatsu scat.
Oh.
Okay.
Okay.
There you go.
The more you know.
Well, moving to question 10, but it has a bonus question. So. Okay. There's still 2 more points up for grabs on this one. So this is question 10, the Honda Let's Go.
Oh, David.
David.
Vamos.
Yes.
Yeah, good. What that was good.
Here comes the bonus question. What was the special edition or version of this car made for?
Ooh.
It was made for something. What was it made for?
Oh. Dogs. Oh, sorry.
Well, I was going to say something different anyway. I was going to say.
No, they had a special version that you had was dog friendly, and you could load. You know, had a secure space for your dog to sit, and you know, and belts and covers over the seats and stuff.
Yeah, special dog edition.
The Honda Vamos Hobbio. Yeah. Doggy friendly one or something.
Yeah, it was a long name.
Yeah.
I think I still got it up on here. The Honda Vamos, Hobbio Travel Dog.
Travel Dog.
Yes. It's a travel dog.
They should bring that back. We're going to do an episode where we've got to think of the bad, like the crazy, weird names, but that they should bring back. And that's what they got to bring back.
Bring back the Travel Dog.
Imagine an N1 RS travel dog. That'd be amazing.
Oh, like that, amazing. Amazing.
I would buy that.
Or an N-Van travel dog.
Oh.
Oh, now you're talking.
Yeah.
You see, that was a trick question, Scotty, too, from the point of view that back in the 60s there was a Honda Vamos, which was basically like a scamp engine Mini Moke.
Really?
Yeah, a little forward control thing that had a big fold-back roof. If you Google Honda Vamos, it'll bring it up. But then they brought the name back when with those little one box vans. So there was the Vamos was the name given to the sort of like the, I think the passenger carrying version of the Activan. But the early Vamoses were cool.
Oh, okay. Yes. Looking at it now. Well, that's pretty cool, actually.
It is. There was one in South Australia for sale, just basically a shell for like $5,000, 10 years ago, I reckon. But yeah, friend of the program, David Day, has often just talked about bringing one in. He thinks that would be a perfect, everyday car. I doubt that it would myself personally, but he seems probably convinced that it would be his
not go-to. An everyday car, but you know.
No. I think
it almost looks like the cars that they use at the airports that put luggage and tow.
Yeah, they do. Yeah.
But just at airports with little planes because they wouldn't have.
Yes.
I would like to see an A380, you know, disgorging its baggage onto with the back of one of those.
No.
Yeah, with one of these.
Very good. Well, that is the car quiz by Scotty Doe. That is Cryptic Cars. Tonight's winner on a grand total of 7 points destroyed me on 2 is Mr. David Prince. Well done.
I can't destroy you. I didn't destroy you. Thank you.
Well done, mate. It's a fantastic score. So well done. Gentlemen, I think that's a podcast.
Good day.
Scotty's Golf Tip of the Week.
Golf Tip of the Week. I actually went and played on Monday.
How'd you go?
Yeah, not too bad, actually. I thought I'd go pretty bad because it's been a while since I played, but yeah, pretty happy. Some putts that I should have got and I missed.
Mm-hmm.
Usually I'd get, but I don't know, I was missing them. One for birdie, and it was pretty close. Like, normally I'd tap that in, missed it. So since I was just playing by myself, I just went, yep, I got it in.
Until now.
Have you been using your tips? Have you been using your tips to make it happen?
Yes. So some bad shots I did when I was out there. The last hole, oh, my goodness. That was a shocker. The last hole. But I kept my cool. Didn't throw anything. Just kept on going. Did some good shots where, a couple were on the fairway. Some of them out a fair bit. And I was just risking it for the biscuit and hitting it between trees and stuff just to have a go. Then just getting onto the fairway. I think that's what's so great when you're just playing for a bit of fun and practice. You just go for those shots. And if you get it, then you're like, yes. And if you don't, you're like, eh. I did hit one. I probably shouldn't have used the pitching wedge. I tried to hit it down low and I didn't. I just flat out really fast and went up and just bang straight in the middle of the tree. And straight back down on the ground. That was pretty funny. But I would say my tip of the week is focus on fitness.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
If you are incredibly fit, you'll be able to get through a round mentally stable. Completely exhausted. I reckon when I got to the 18th, I was pretty wrecked. After going up that massive hill and everything, I was exhausted. And then it just hurt you on the rest of it. I just kind of wanted to finish by then. But then give myself another hour or two to get my breath back in that. I'd be ready for another round. I'm like, yes, I want to play again now.
Isn't that called the 19th hole?
Yes, that's the good spot.
Yes.
Actually, they've opened up their new clubhouse there at Woodend that opens up on Saturday, I think. Grand reopening.
That's brilliant.
Yeah, so good on them. It's a beautiful golf course. So if you can get out that way, I really, really recommend it. Very, very tricky. If you're not hitting straight, then just get ready to be smashing into trees. It's tough.
I have to give it a go. Quite
beautiful. Got to see some great birds out there. Some kookaburras. I saw a kookaburra fly down.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, beautiful nature out there. It's good.
Nice.
Mr. Prince.
Ed and I still do a podcast. We've spent a lot of time talking about it recently, actually. So hopefully we'll be up and running again pretty soon. It's called Auto Retro, and we talk to people about the cars of their lives.
Exciting stuff.
I am looking forward to it.
Me too. Thanks.
Thank you.
Like and share our Facebook pages, Car Talk TRQ. Manny J, if you miss any of our previous episodes, they're all up on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasting apps. So don't forget to subscribe right to us there. Check it out YouTube. We've got our episodes that are coming up more and more every so often, so keep your eyes peeled there. Check out our Teespring store. Go to teespring.com and type in Car Talk Store so you can support the show by buying some merch, buying a t-shirt, buying a hoodie, or you could support the show by becoming a patron to our Patreon. Go to patreon.com/Car Talk Podcast and support the show there. Hi to our patrons. You know who you are. Gentlemen, honor as always, and we'll see you next time. Take it easy.
See ya. See ya.